as usual, we need to hear what God's saying. But even in line with this proclamation of prayer, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel set the stage for some things that were going to happen in Israel. Now, this isn't the bulk of my message this morning, but I need to give you two different passages, areas of scripture that will lay a foundation for us to turn to the Lord in prayer. Daniel, as he was a representation of the nation of Israel, he came to God on behalf of his nation. We need to do that this morning. Daniel's, I'm going to read just some excerpts, a few verses from Daniel chapter 9. And I prayed to the Lord. Do we have that? Well, we can throw it on the screen as well. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Pause. See, I know there are people who want to go to prayer as a nation and omit this part. But I think it's really important that as a people, and we just a small representation of our nation, but we go to God in repentance, personally and as a nation. Verse 6, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. Drop down to verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Oh Lord, verse 19, say this with me. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Listen. We often and many familiar with 2 Chronicles 7:14. We'll back up one verse before that and look at this. The word of God said, when I shut up the heavens, God said, so that there's no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. Look at verse 14. If my people, look, there's four conditions here. We get to choose. Will we align ourselves with the four conditions listed? And then a threefold promise that God gives in response. If my people, can I tell you this morning, this isn't really just about the world. People who don't know the Lord. It's about we who say we are his people. I'm glad we can identify as that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God said, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Danny, could I let you, where'd he go? Who's up here? I knew it wasn't a one-man rapture right there. Y'all sitting here. It just dawned on me he wasn't there at that moment. Don't you hate it when you think and it comes out of your mouth right about the same time that you're thinking it? I do. But I want us to take some time right where you are. I don't know if you want to come and kneel before the Lord. We're not going to take a long time here. But I want us individually to go and on the basis of these two passages, God, forgive our sins. Would you just come and make the personal part? You don't have to come necessarily. You can pray right where you're seated. You can turn around. You can kneel over toward the seat in front of you. You can do whatever you need to do. But take this time. We bless you, Lord. Just go ahead. Just quietly right where you are. If my people call by my name, seek my face and pray. Turn from their wicked ways. God, thank you for the turning. God, forgive our sins as a nation where we've done so many things to defy you, where we've allowed the slaughter of preborn children by the thousands and thousands called legalized abortion. God, forgive us. The shedding of innocent blood. Oh, God, cleanse us. Turn the heart of this nation. Repentance, where we've embraced sexual immorality, some way legalized all kinds of. Lord God, forgive us. Turn the hearts so that we can return to your plans and purposes. Forgive us as a people, where we've compromised your word and we've been more concerned about public opinion than your opinion. God, forgive us. Where we've allowed a culture to change us as your people instead of permeating a culture and allowing your spirit through us to change that culture. Forgive us. Forgive us for apathy. Forgive us for laziness. Forgive us for a lack of diligence. Oh God, cleanse us. Where we've taken your word so many times so lightly. We wanted to pick out things that we could just heap on ourselves and said, that looks like a good benefit. And let me take that prosperity thing and let me do that. Lord God, forgive us. Let us start taking you at your whole word, the whole counsel of God and the heart, your Father heart. Lord, oh God, thank you. As we repent, we ask your forgiveness, not by any merit of our own, but because of the blood of Jesus who paid our sin debt. Oh Lord, forgive us. And Lord, heal our land. And Lord, even this current malady, plague, virus that is so transforming our land and affecting not just ours, across the world. Lord, we're asking for your breakthrough to come. And in your mercy, Lord, that it would be eradicated, that healing would come. And in all this process, God, that we will know, because we're people who know who the King is. Lord, that you would cause us to rise up in the confidence of who you are. Not at all arrogance. Nobody stands arrogantly in your presence, Lord. But humbly, we ask you, Lord, your power and authority operate through us with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal our land, heal our people, set up your boundaries, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 There's a prayer that we will pray. We can pray together. And I'm saying pray it together, not just say it together. Based on Psalms 91. And if you just go back and you personalize it, it can... We'll put it on the screen, but it's... We can pray that we're declaring this today. See, in my card, in my wallet, I mean, it's a card. I think it says Blue Cross Blue Shield. But here's the deal. The real coverage over my life is Jesus' cross and God's shield. But I want us to say what Psalms 91, we'll pray this together. today I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my place of safety. No, my God, in you I trust. Surely you will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. You cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I trust. Your truth is my shield and buckler, and so I am not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes do I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil befalls me, nor does any plague come nigh my dwelling. For he gives his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. They bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I trample underfoot. Because I have set my love upon him, therefore he delivers me. He sets me on high because I have known his name. I call upon him and he answers me. He is with me in trouble. He delivers me and honors me. With long life he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Give him praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your authority and power. Somebody may pause. I hesitate to even address this, but I feel like let me take a couple of three sentences here. Say, well, is this that's happening a curse from God? I don't know. Are there things that get set up when we pull out from under God's canopy of protection as a nation because we walk in defiance of his will? There are doors that get open that way spiritually. In our own lives, things can happen that way. So I don't think I have to define it so much, but we're calling on God who's able to heal our land spiritually, morally, physically, all those things. Can we just be in agreement on that? Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about staying steady in the storm. Thank you, Danny. Staying steady in the storm. And there's about three areas that I feel like God put in my heart over particularly targeting in yesterday. And some of you here, you are already in your own storm before all this came. And then you come to church on Sunday morning and it just feels weird, all the fist bumps and all that other stuff. He said, but you are here. Hallelujah. You're able to watch online, those that are where you are. I want to tell you, apart from the coronavirus storm or national storm that we face now, and including that storm, we can find stability still in our God. So we look to the Word of God for security and clarity in the face, again, of whatever kind of storm it is that we meet. Share three different areas. Number one is secure our foundation. As Jeff was talking, you know, tighten the bolts down. Let's secure our foundation. Our foundation needs to be brought up to storm standards. And when there are various times, a couple of different times when we have hosted, I don't think you call them refugees, but what do you call people? They're fleeing from the hurricanes on the coast, and we house hundreds in this room where you're sitting in some past years, just in the time of crisis. Because here's what I understand, that building codes and requirements are different in the coastal areas or areas that are likely to experience hurricanes than they are like us here inland. Because of the nature of those storms, they know that structures have to be built appropriately in order to withstand the storms. Now, I can promise you that the person who has merely set up a tent to live in on the beach is going to react very differently to a hurricane than somebody who's living in a house that is storm ready, that is storm rated. So what did Jesus say about this foundation stuff? Luke 6:46, he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" See, Lord is a very relational word. From the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, it means he to whom a person belongs. Relational. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you're just doing your own thing?" And he continues, Matthew 7:24, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Our foundation needs to get secured. If it hasn't been, then today's a good day to begin shoring that up. Our foundation is much more than a mere religious confession or a church membership. It's got to be relational with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this relationship that he's given to us, it's one of grace-empowered obedience. And then there's an interaction that takes place between Jesus and Peter in the Bible. It's not sequential. It's not right after this statement that Jesus makes in that sermon. But in this interaction between Jesus and Simon Peter, there seems to be a revelation that's foundation building oriented as well. And we each need to know these things foundation. Letter A, we need to know who Jesus is. Let's go back to that conversation that Jesus and Peter had. Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am." Son of Man was the reference that Jesus would call himself by oftentimes. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, his disciples that he's talking to, "Some say John the Baptist, baptizer. Some Elijah. And others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Listen, that's real important. Who do you say that he is? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." See, once Peter could truly have the relational revelation of who Jesus is, then Jesus could turn around and reveal something else so important to Peter. The first thing we need to know is who Jesus is. Then he can reveal, letter B, who we are. Get it mixed up and turned around, it won't work. Who he is, letter B, who we are. Verse 18, the next verse in Matthew 16, Jesus says to Peter, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Two definitions here that are important. That first word, Peter, that's translated rock, rock there from the Greek is petros. It means a piece of rock. And then he says, "upon this rock." He doesn't use that same Greek word, piece of rock, but rather he uses the word petra, a mass of rock. "Oh, you're Peter, piece of rock, but upon this mass of rock," the rock of revelation, what did Peter just get through saying? "You are Messiah, the Son of the living God. Upon that revelation, that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of hell, strategies of hell will not prevail against it, will not conquer it." Can I hear one amen right there? Part of the church. In the storms, that revelation is what we can still build on. Let me add one other brief foundation stone, and it's a truth that we need to know about. Not only who he is and who we are, but letter C is whose we are. Whose we are. 1 John 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And I love verse 31 of Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Child of God, in the middle of the storm, don't forget whose you are. Amen. I remember as a child, one of the events, and I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old, but there was kind of a guy in the neighborhood, a little older, rougher, and it's the only time I remember this really happening, but as he had jumped on me, a situation, and I kind of lived across the corner, and I don't know, life was a lot different, 50-something years ago in the neighborhoods, but my dad was going to come out and defend me. He didn't go beat the boy up or beat his dad up, but he knew his dad. And in that defense time, I remember, I may be 5 or 6 years old, but I remember my dad coming to my defense. I am so glad we have a defender. Whose are we? I was my dad's son. He could step up there. Aren't you glad to be a child of God this morning? Don't forget whose you are. I did not share this with Mary Helen. I did not have a clue that you're reading that scripture this morning. But I felt like this short poem had come to me. I couldn't remember it all. But this week, as people have gone nuts and getting toilet paper and whatever else that looks... All right. But I think that about the short, real brief poem is called The Robin and the Sparrow. It goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. In the midst of the storm, don't forget the Father is watching over us and covering us, caring for his own. Number one was secure our foundation in the storm. Number two is redirect our focus. Redirect our focus. Now, I want you to guard your focus in the midst of this storm. It's not as though we walk out today and that storm is over. So the guard of our focus needs to be ongoing. Let me share a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, there are people that are watching. How's the church respond? How do you respond? Do you act differently than those of us that we make no claim with God? Well, we can. And it's not just an act. We can be differently. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses looking on. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And read this part with me. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And the first part of this next verse, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's all I want to read of that verse. Looking unto Jesus, redirecting our focus. It's an interesting Greek word that's used there. When I find a word that's only used one time in the New Testament, I say, wow, God had a real intention about using something here. It means this, to consider attentively, looking unto Jesus, but it means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them, in this case, on Jesus, who is the focus of our faith. He started it, he finishes it, looking to Jesus. Amen. Redirect our focus, letter A, to God and to his promises. In this storm, we've got to keep looking to the Lord and to his promises. If you are allowing yourself to be consumed with coronavirus news and data and reports and speculation and every other facet of its impact, I want to encourage you to do something this week and over these next few weeks. Refocus our looking to Jesus. I don't mean you have to turn off all your media and all that, but I'm telling you, let our focus be realigned, redirected there to God, to His promises. Redirecting our thoughts to view all those things that are about it through a rightly focused lens is going to radically affect our perspective of those things. Am I making any sense yet? Jesus said this, John 14, 27. Say it with me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I don't give you a peace that's circumstantial. It only works if everything's well. I give the peace that I give you. It's ongoing. I give it to you. It's a gift. Don't let. Do not let. We have a part to play here. Do not give permission for your hearts to be troubled. Do not be afraid. Why? Because of who He is. Look, Philippians 4, verse 6. And again, I just encourage you to read it with me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, God's provision for peace, God's promised us peace in two places, in our hearts and in our minds, our spirit and our heads. That's two places I need peace. How about you? And listen, what I'm not encouraging, don't misunderstand this. This is not a stick your head in the sand time. It's not a, don't worry, be happy. It's not that approach of some kind of denial, but it is a deliberately putting our hands in the Lord's, our concerns, our cares into His hand, His coverage over us. Amen. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. God, I trust you. Could we say that as a congregation? God, I trust you. That's intentional. Even in the storm, and even in this storm, it's important. Let her be not only focused and redirecting our focus to God and His promises, but let her be redirect our focus to others and their needs. In this time, I believe this is going to be really important over these next days and weeks. And I believe that if we'll allow God to do that, He'll direct us into some amazing opportunities around us. Some of you, He's already doing that. Find a need. Pastor Tommy Barnett of Phoenix First Assembly, years and years ago, I remember he made this statement. It's find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. You probably won't have to look very far for either of those two things. That's the work of the kingdom, part of that, the body of Christ. It may be in some real practical ways. For those of you that have 120 rolls of toilet paper, maybe it is giving some to your neighbor. Maybe it is reaching out in some practice. See, we're still looking toward that all-America outreach around our neighborhoods as well as the community around the church. Out of your concern and out of your care and compassion, let God help us to see what we need to see and then be willing to act and to speak in those areas too. Because in the midst of a storm, that person that's standing in the peace of God, that's a contrast. The church of Jesus Christ needs to be standing steady in the storm. But it needs to be with an eye outward, considering those around us. Because in these times of tension and of pressure and of fear is an opportunity to shine with the love of God, the peace of God, with prayer over people. We're speaking the truth to people. And lastly, as our staying steady in the storm, we need to, number three, is reconsider our future. Reconsider our future. I'm not talking about a reference to our immediate future, really, but I'm looking beyond that to our eternal future. Life lived with eternity in view is a perspective changer, a game changer in that way. There's a wonderful passage found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The context of the chapter, it's an encouragement to to never give up and to not lose heart. I think it's the first or second verse of the chapter, and then the end of the chapter. It almost repeated some of that thought. I want to share the last verse of that chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Fix our gaze. The original word, I try not to use a bunch of this, but I need to this morning one more time, is the original word that this comes from, the English transliteration of the Greek is skopeo. If I was Greek, it would probably be skopeo. But in my Texas drawl, it looked like scopio. Are there any hunters or people here that have a scope on your rifle or gun? Can I see hands in here? Number of you. I feel pretty secure in our state. Scopio, scope. What do? You're scoping. You're looking through the scope at the target. That's the word. See, he's saying, don't focus in on, put your scope on. It literally means to take aim at. That's the, we don't look at the troubles we can see. Actually, that same word, don't look at. We fix our gaze. That's to take aim at. Take aim at. We're instructed to take aim at what is of eternal value. To us, don't focus in on what are the temporal troubles of now, but live with eternal perspectives. Let me make an observation, because I see something happening in this current crisis, in this storm, and it seems to be highlighting something in a magnitude that we've never seen before. I haven't in my generation. Don't misunderstand me or think I'm saying something here that I'm not either. I'm not opposing measures that help curtail the spread of this or other sicknesses. And I'm not suggesting that we discard common sense practices at all. But I appreciate what a doctor as part of this congregation said. When I'm asked what I'm doing, I tell people to pray and wash your hands. Amen. That's good. Do that. See, God has really given us as mankind the gift of a drive to survive. But for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, He's also given us another gift, which is deliverance from the fear of death. I want us to know this morning. Jesus accomplished this through His death and resurrection Himself. Hebrews 2:15 says, only in this way could Jesus set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the what? Fear of dying. There are spirits of fear and panic that we do not need to entertain or give any opportunity to at all as children of the Most High God. Can I hear an amen to that? Rebuke and resist them from ourselves in Jesus' name. The Bible says neither give place. Don't give a parking place to hell in your life, Lord. And you may need to say it out loud, not just think meditation thoughts about God. But Lord, I thank You that Your covering is over me. I thank You that I'm Your child, that I belong to You. Thank You, Lord, that my eternity is in You. All those things. But with the opportunities here, let me get real practical again. With the opportunities that God puts in front of us in conversations, in various circumstances, be intentional about pointing to Jesus, even in the midst of this storm, and in helping them to consider eternity. In light of this time, help people. Well, and really, biblically, it's what we should do. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do not be insensitive to others during this time. The concerns they have, the fears they have. I need to try to say something gently here, and I don't even know how to say it gently, so I guess I'm just going to say it. Don't let some macho Texas redneck pride come up in us either, that it is really just self-focused rather than God-focused. Oh, I ain't worried about this virus stuff. You can catch me changing anything. Don't be insensitive to people around you. See, because rather than focus attention on ourselves, we need to turn our hope, give reason for the hope that's in us is Him. You don't have another reason for hope. What we really want to communicate is the truth of God's word and speak our faith in Jesus that secures our eternity with Him regardless. Now, it seems like, and I'm getting ready to close, but stay with me. It seems like the statistical chances of one of us dying from the COVID-19 virus, coronavirus, it may not be very high, although the situation seems to be getting increasingly more serious. However, I want to share one firm statistic that we all need to consider this morning. The truth is that 100 out of 100 people die. That's me, and that's you. If Jesus doesn't catch us away first, that's a one-to-one ratio. That's not morbid. See, but the thing that we see so emphasized right now, I just wonder, have we as an entire culture lost the reality that all of our natural lives this side of eternity are temporary? See, this current storm needs to be an alarm clock. Not an alarm for panic and paranoia, but a wake-up call so that we each can consider and we can share the message with others. Consider what's after death. What happens after each one of us personally? As I mentioned this, I want to ask a question of you. You don't answer out loud, but does considering death prompt fear in you? I've watched, and some people are in hospice care here. They're caring for patients in the end season and maybe weeks and days, months, weeks and days of their lives. And they've told me about how different it is when a believer passes from this side of eternity to the other side and somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Having witnessed the homegoing of saints and the peace of God. Thank God breaks off of us the fear of death. And the reality is that God created each one of us as eternal beings. We will never cease existing. But the thing we've got to be aware of and what we look at is, where is that existence to be? Is it because merely passing through the doorway called death doesn't qualify any of us or set us apart for heaven in itself? Just before I give this invitation, I want the gospel to be so clear. See, I don't know what rules or regulations may be set forth between now and next Sunday or even Wednesday. Restrictions in our county seem to be at maybe 250 right now. There's less than that in this room, or probably somewhat less. But by next week, maybe that's going to change. Other places have even tighter restrictions. So if this will be, I want to stand in this pulpit and make sure that every one of us in this room, those watching by some other means, that they would know what's the gospel. What choices do I have? And the Bible says that we all have a sin nature. We inherit it from Adam and Eve and their rebellion against God. Human nature. Because of that, we're separated from our Creator, God. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous. I can't. If I turned over the new leaf and lived righteously from here on out, my behavior was right. I couldn't undo the things I've already done, and I couldn't change my own nature. Here's the good news. Good news is a word that means comes from the word gospel. Here's the gospel. Is that Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, came, and because of Him doing that, He took our sins on Himself, took them to the cross. That's where He paid the debt that we owed before a holy God. And then God raised Him from the dead on the third way, verifies that was an adequate sacrifice. His resurrection But one more time, it's not automatic. Even though he paid for the sins of the whole world, for God so loved the world that he gave. Even though he paid for the sins of the whole world, it's not automatic for all of mankind. We've got to make a choice. Repent, give ownership to him as Lord and Savior. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right or power to become children of God. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says if we hear his voice, not to harden our heart. See, today, each one of us really are going to make a choice. If you've never said yes to Jesus and you walk out without choosing that today, you made a choice. If you've said yes to the Lord, we're making that choice freshly today. For some that are in this room, perhaps your journey has taken you on a run away from God. With the busyness and the stuff that's so easily and readily distracting to us. And the Bible says, lay aside every weight and run with endurance the race. Maybe you got trapped up on the run and got ensnared. Today's the day of starting fresh with the Lord. Would you bow your hearts before the Lord? And I want prayer partners to come, be available for folks. If you're here in this place today, let me pray first. Lord, we're in a unique time in history. As a nation, as a world. But each one of us sit here in a unique time in our own history. What choices will we make? If we're followers of Christ, will we make a choice to let you flow in us and use us and work through us even in this time? We choose. I want that to be fully my choice to engage. I want that to be our choice. If we're here this morning and without right relationship, we've let other things crowd in and choke out the fruitfulness, the life of God. Lord, I pray for every backslider that today is the day of starting fresh and over with you, starting the new part of the journey. And now I pray for each one who's not ever said yes to you, that today is the day of marking it down. You said in your word, I set before you life and death, blessing or cursing, choose life so that you and your descendants can live. Lord, this day we choose. I pray, God, for every man and woman, every young person that be in this room, we get to choose right now. Lord, if there's been a fear of death, an uncertainty about that, then let that be sparked fresh so that we can settle this issue today. And then ongoingly, because of a yielded life to you, have the security of eternity with you. Thank you, Lord. With your eyes still closed for a moment, if you're here today, I'm not going to embarrass you. If you're saying today, I want to start my life giving it over to Jesus, or I want to start freshly, recommit myself to the Lord, would you just put your hand up and let me acknowledge you? Thank you, ma'am. Some more that would just say, this day, I want to settle this thing. It's not settled by a religious act. It's settled by beginning the relationship with Jesus, surrendering with him. Others that would just say, today's my day. I'm choosing the Lord. Hallelujah. How many here, you can keep your eyes closed, but I say, if your heart stopped beating right now, you know you'd be in eternity with the Lord. Can I see your hand in this room? Hallelujah. Thank you. You put them down. Honesty is, and thank you for being honest, there are a number of hands in here that didn't go up. And I'm just saying, today we choose. Today we choose. I want you to stand up with me. Maybe there's prayer, another prayer need. Maybe there are some things that you want to partner with one of these.